latest entry in the Diary of Doom. I am your Cypher Dylan, and join me as we look back on the rich history of Doom Metal based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we'll have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can visit the website at diaryofdoom.com, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and follow the podcast at diaryofdoom.podbean.com, and you can subscribe and listen on iTunes and Spotify. If you have any questions or want to pitch me something or anything else, you can fire off an email to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And joining us this week, previously of Satan's Satyrs, is Nate Towle. I'm saying that correctly, right?
It's actually Toll, but that's all right. That I've heard that. I've heard Towle my entire life. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to say it again so that it's on the record. Nate Toll from Satan's Satyrs. So thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, last year, Satan's Satyrs split up. I'm not partial to the reasons why, but that was the project that you were involved with for, I think, like 3 or 4 years. But leading up to that, when did you start getting into music?
Okay, so probably, you know, like, I mean, you know, everything else, like when you're a kid and stuff, and, you know, but I mean, as far as like maybe my first serious band, I was probably my first band, Wicked Inquisition, which I started in 2008. So that was kind of the starting point, I guess.
What was Wicked Inquisition like when you were when you started that project?
It just started out as me and a childhood friend, drummer. And we were playing Black Sabbath, Witchfinder General, Saint Vitus, and Pentagram covers. And so we would play shows wherever we could. And then eventually, as time went on, I got some different members, filled up the lineup, stuff like that, and started writing our own stuff and just kind of like playing like the traditional Doom sound, you know. Like all the sort of forefathers of the genre were kind of the main influence on that. So we were really kind of doing something that, I mean, we weren't reinventing the wheel by any means, but we were certainly playing something that not many people were doing, especially at that time.
Do you have like a specific time when you started to get into doom metal and kind of like by proxy, like what sort of like drew you into the doomier side of things?
Yeah. I mean, probably, you know, like seventh grade, 13 or 14. I mean, I was listening to Black Sabbath and I went onto YouTube and I wanted to hear the song Saint Vitus Dance. And, the video of Saint Vitus playing at Palm Springs Community Center in 1986, it was Wino's first show. So that actually popped up on my YouTube feed and I thought, what the hell is this? So I click and it was the song Zombie Hunger from that show. So yeah, I mean, that was kind of the start of it. And really like the whole thing, man, was just YouTube. Like, it's not like I was tape trading or anything like that. You know, I was just a kid on the internet, but then was on YouTube, and YouTube was sort of this rabbit hole into everything. So that's kind of what got the ball rolling.
It's funny. I've definitely discovered bands through YouTube, and it kind of became like a sort of an unexpected, almost like a sort of an undiscovered reservoir to find bands, and not even like, you know, obscure weird bands, kind of like by today's standards, but it was a platform that I think benefits this medium, because a lot of people will just send me like YouTube links of like full albums and shit, and there's a lot of accounts that will share albums. Bands have their own accounts, obviously, some questionable accounts.
yeah right. I think I know what you're talking about there.
Yeah. Smod. If you don't know what goes on with Smod, just look it up. You'll find a quick explanation out there. But putting that aside, do you have any specific record that you hold close to your heart that sort of like got you, you know, kind of pushed you over the edge, so to speak?
I mean, Relentless by Pentagram and Psalm 9 by Trouble and Death Penalty by Witchfinder General and, you know, like pretty much just you know, the Vitus records and all that stuff, man, and Budgie records. I mean, it's hard for me to even really choose one, but I guess, you know, if I really had to, you know, maybe like Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath or something like that. But, you know, there's a lot of records that I hold in high reverence. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, well, you listed some of them off. Actually, I wanted to just bounce back to an earlier point. That first show with Wino at the Palm Springs Center, that's the one where if I remember correctly, the PA went out and they had to do the whole thing sort of like in a weird stripped down manner or something like that. Or maybe I'm getting that confused with another one.
This one, like, it kind of looks like the screen is almost like through a green filter.
Right. It's probably.
Yeah. 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 And Wino says like, there's Coke being sold out back, you know?
It probably is just like an old junky feed that somebody uploaded. So that's still pretty rad, though. I was just curious if that was the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very raw sounding. Very raw.
Perfect. So you were in Wicked Inquisition for a while, and that was sort of your main project. And how long did you run in that outfit for?
So we called it a day in like 2016. So yeah, probably about 8 years, I think. Something like that. Yeah, yeah, probably about 8 years, I'd say. If we started in 08, so.
And when you were in Wicked Inquisition, did you hit the road with anybody in those years?
Well, we hit the road several times, but it was all DIY tours. We did like three different tours on our own accord, but you know, we weren't supporting anybody or nothing like that. I mean, we were booking all the shows and, you know, sleeping in the van, and we'd be lucky if we could get like, you know, $80 or something to pay for gas, man. I mean, we were we were really roughing it in those days, and you know, just going out and doing our thing. But and we played the Midwest a lot, especially. I mean, we toured the country at one point, but again, it was all just really like, you know, oh, we drove 1,000 miles to play in front of the drunk guy at the bar, you know, like
sure.
We didn't really have any support, man, you know.
But I imagine that's like, you know, to keep going and doing it for 8 years, you obviously like wanted to keep the machine running, because you obviously loved what you were doing. But after that band called it quits, that's when you joined up with Satan Satyrs, who had been around for 10 years.
Clayton started them guys in 2009.
Yes.
So yeah, and he's like a year older than I am. So they're pretty much all around the same age as I am. Yeah, so when I was doing my thing out here in the Midwest, kind of unbeknownst to me, but they were doing their thing out in Virginia and sort of doing the same thing and listening to a lot of the same music as I was, but just in a different part of the country, and we didn't know who each other were. And I didn't find out about them guys until I think Clayton had joined Electric Wizard, and then when he joined them, Satyrs put out the second record they did, Die Screaming. So that's when I heard of them guys, and I listened to them and figured out that they were like the same age as me and stuff, and were listening to the same stuff. So it was kind of trippy, man. I mean, we were like, you know, so we were like doing the same things in some ways, but just in different parts of the country, you know?
Yeah, it was almost like not like a moment of clarity, but sort of like you'd known him your whole life, but you never did.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, one thing too is, I mean, you know, neither of us, we weren't exactly reinventing the wheel, but you know, when we both kind of started respectively listening to the bands we were listening to, I mean, dude, I remember going on YouTube, man, and like, you know, listening to Vitus and stuff and being like, oh, I'm never going to see this band. I'm never going to see Pentagram. You know, this was before, you know, Pentagram played Webster Hall. This is before, you know, it's before all like the stuff really kicked off, right? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. like the scene had already existed and everything like that. But, you know, even at that point, nobody cared, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think in some ways we were both kind of ahead of the curve to an extent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of just listening to the bands we liked because we liked them and we didn't really care what anybody thought. We were just doing our own thing, you know.
And then one thing led to another.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Clayton, yes, I remember reading that he was in Electric Wizard and then wound up dropping out of that lineup. And then you joined up in 2016. So when you were with Satan Satyrs, you put out a split with Windhand and then The Lucky Ones, which I listened to earlier today, just, you know, re-familiarize myself with it. That the split with Windhand is a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. How did you guys go about putting together the split with them?
Okay, so with those guys, we actually started tracking for The Lucky Ones in like fall of 2016. So Clayton had worked with Garrett when Wizard was doing Wizard Bloody Wizard. Mm-hmm. They brought Garrett in to help engineer that record and stuff. So he had built and Satyrs had played a couple shows with Windhand in the past, but Clayton started to get to know Garrett a lot when he was helping out with the Wizard record. So yeah, Garrett's studio was in Richmond, and the rest of the band, the rest of Satyrs were in Richmond. So Clayton had already known him from working with Wizard, so we just figured, what the heck, you know, we'll do the record with Garrett. And so then from that point, we did a tour with them. It's like 8 days in the US in like 2017, and then we went over to Europe with them that year as well. So yeah, that's kind of where the whole thing started out, you know. And eventually it was like, well, do you guys want to do a split with us, you know, sort of thing. So that's kind of the gist of it.
And then you, following that, your last record was The Lucky Ones, which when I was listening to it today there, I was surprised there were actually a couple like tracks on there where, you know, I definitely get like the Pentagram vibes from it. But it's not like that super downtuned take on doom metal and super slow. It's got a nice like sort of, I wouldn't say bop, but you guys have a little bit more of a rock and roll vibe to yourselves, and it shows. And there's like even a couple of tracks in there I felt like it was almost like a little bit more of like a pop song slightly. So I thought it was just a really fun listen to go through. And sometimes, you know, it can get a little slogging in the genre. So I don't know if anything you want to talk about when you were putting that record together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Well, I appreciate the words, first of all.
No problem.
It was a fun record to make. And, you know, I don't think that Satan Satyrs was ever, like, truly a doom band. I think if you listen to the discography, every record was kind of different. You know, it was kind of a different thing. So, like, for me, Die Screaming, I'd say, is probably more of, like, the doom record, I guess.
Sure.
But there's still more going on even on that record. But yeah, with The Lucky Ones, it was like there was a lot more like a glam rock influence.
Right, from that classic glam rock sort of like T-Rex and
yeah, T-Rex and Kiss and stuff like that. I mean, when I was approaching the record, you know, cuz Clayton wrote, you know, like 90% of it, but I came from my own accord, and like some of it too, I used this Clone Theory pedal because I kind of wanted to get like this treble tone in some of the leads.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there was certainly some doom going on, but it was definitely like more of just kind of an organic, like this is a rock and roll record type deal, you know? Although actually that song Pulp Star, that sounds a lot like a 70s Pentagram song to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it, you know, Pentagram sort of did that well, you know, that they did. I mean, they did it great back in the day when they were able to kind of convey that darkness, but also with like that rock and roll feel. And, you know, it wasn't like if you were to listen to, say, you know, like a Catatonia or something like that, early Catatonia anyway, where it's just like very like just thunderously slow.
Yeah. Well, and Pentagram is almost kind of like two separate bands in a sense. Because they didn't really start getting doomy and stuff till Victor came around.
Right.
You know, before that, it was just kind of like gritty street rock, you know, which was good in and of itself.
But then, like, the whole that kind of changed the whole vibe of the band to give it more of that, like, occulty vibe and whatnot. Sort of how I think the legend, or not the legend, but I guess the history goes that like they were trying to figure out what to do with Black Sabbath in the beginning, and they were just like, make it fucking spooky.
Yeah, more or less.
And I remember when you guys rolled through town. I think it was last 2 years ago. I think it was in 2018. I was at the which show? Where was that in New York? Elsewhere show.
That was one of the best shows on tour, I think.
Yeah, I saw a lot of pictures you guys go following that tour, and it looked like a real good time and whatnot. So that was that your last major tour or before the end?
That was the last one.
Cool. Well, not cool, but I guess in a way, sort of you could have definitely done a lot worse than that, because that was a really good time. Do you have any highlights, memories from that tour?
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, that was that show in particular was really good. I know Revolver Magazine was there filming, and they filmed Windhand set, and they uploaded that. But I'm hoping, you know, maybe somewhere in their vaults or something they have our set, because I was really hoping. Because that was one of the better shows. I mean, and there were a lot of good shows on that tour too, like when we played Austin, Texas and stuff, and like Seattle and stuff like that. Actually, I think the first 12 or 13 shows were professionally recorded. So, you know, maybe there's like a live record in there somewhere. I don't know. That's not necessarily up for me to decide, but it'd be interesting if at some point maybe something might come out, because that was a really good tour, and I thought the lineup we had was really tight, really solid. So yeah, I don't know. If it was the final stand, I mean, it was a pretty decent way to go, I'd say.
I'd say so. So since Satan Satyrs, you know, sort of hung up its hat, what have you been working on now? Do you have another band in the works?
Yeah. So I put together kind of a solo thing. It's called Extermination Day. But after the band broke up last year, I mean, I was kind of, it's hard to get something going. And then, of course, with COVID, that's pretty much put a damper on just about everything. So I'm just kind of doing my own solo thing right now. And it's really just recording. And I'm just writing on my own. I don't really know what my plans are for it, if there's going to be anything bigger or not, but just something to keep me busy, keep me going, you know?
Yeah, that's good that you've been able to remain, you know, creative and still working on things. Cause I understand some people find it a little bit, you know, even with this extra time that we have on our hands now, some people have just said it's still very kind of difficult to want to work under kind of these odd circumstances.
Yeah, well, and you know, the world's not exactly in the best place right now, so
no, it's not. You know,
I think people are pretty mentally drained, and it's kind of hard to focus on creative endeavors when you know, you're constantly being bombarded with bad news. And you know, one might, you know, if you're writing doom or stuff like that, you know, you might think that you're getting some inspiration and stuff like that. But I mean, no, it can be, you know, between periods of isolation and all sorts of other stuff going on. I mean, it's certainly hard, and people don't know when they're going to play live again. I mean, it's rough, you know?
Yeah. It's constantly what my girlfriend and I keep coming back to, just, you know, how much we miss going to shows. And we're like, we just have no idea when that's going to be, like, you know, kind of a normality again. So yeah, it sucks, but I'm trying not to weigh down every episode with just, you know, cause it gets a little redundant at times, but
yeah, right. Yeah. After a while it's like, okay, how is COVID affect? How is the lockdown affect you? You know, it's like
just about, well, the same as anyone
it
else.
It sucks. You know, I mean, it's about all you can say. It sucks. It's not that fun.
Yeah. What have you been listening to lately? Cause I always like to ask my guests what they're listening to. That's sort of like either getting them through the year, or if it's, you know, they're checking out something new, or if they're dipping back into old favorites or whatever it is.
Yeah. Lately I've been listening to, a lot of Van Halen, and then, Black Flag and, Stooges.
Love the Stooges.
Yeah. That's, and, New York Dolls and, Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers, stuff like that. That's kind of what I've been listening to lately.
Yeah, I dig the New York Dolls a lot. They're super good. It's funny. I was just talking about the New York Dolls yesterday. Never seen them. Probably never will. And
right. Yeah.
Will not have seen. You know, I haven't seen any version of the New York Dolls. But that one record, man, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like lightning in a bottle. You know.
I could probably put that on any day of the week, and I would just dig the shit out of it, because it feels like about as pure rock and roll as you can kind of get.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, without question.
I'm honest, I'd rather listen to it than the Beatles.
yeah, I suppose. You know,
nothing against the Beatles.
Right.
I grew up in a town that was just super, like, just obsessed with the Beatles, and it's like, okay, I get it. They're good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So do you have any new tracks coming out for this new project of yours, Extermination Day?
Yeah, well, I just put out a demo that it's just three tracks. So I did all the instruments myself. I recorded everything in a basement. So it's, you know, it's lo-fi. It's just a demo, but I've got four studio tracks that I just need to get some vocals onto. My friend Jason, who did the he drummed on the last Satan Satyrs tour, so he's playing the drums on this next release that I'm working on right now. So then that's just the two of us. So that's kind of what I got cooking right now. And then in the meantime, just trying to write other stuff, really.
Cool. Do you want to plug that stuff where people can find out about it?
Yeah, just the usual suspect, Bandcamp. So the demo's up right now. It's available for free download. Actually, I should be getting some cassettes here, I think, tomorrow. So I should be able to start selling some cassettes pretty soon of that. So you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, that sort of thing.
Cool. I'm actually gonna grab one of those tracks, and I'll plug it into the at the end of the episode so people can give it a listen.
Oh, sure.
Not sure which one I'm gonna do, but the new track will be coming up at the end of this episode for your listening pleasure. Don't have too many other questions, so unless there's anything else you wanna chime in on, probably wrap this sucker up.
Yeah, man. You know, thanks for having me, and you know, hopefully things get better here and we'll be back to it pretty soon.
Yeah.
Everybody collectively. That's kind of, we just got to hunker down and hope for the best and hope this idiot doesn't get reelected. But I'm just upfront about it these days. I don't even care. No more formalities.
No, man.
That guy sucks. Dude. Fuck him.
Nope, I'm with you, dude. Fuck him. I'm ready for him to be out of here. He's definitely done way too much damage. There needs to be what is the Joker saying? And he says something like, the town just needs an enema. Like, it just needs to be cleaned out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if what we had before Trump was much better, but if we can just get like a reset button and then start from where we were 4 years ago and then like give it another go and see if we can do it better this time, you know, I think that'd be probably the best. So,
I mean, I don't know if we can go worse than this. So, but
yeah,
but I hear you, man. You got to stay safe. So I hope you stay safe out there and check out Nate's stuff. You can find it over at his Bandcamp. You can follow him on Instagram and Facebook and give those tracks a listen and stay tuned for listening. Nate, thanks for coming on again, man.
All right. Thank you much, man.
No problem. You take care. And that will do it for this chapter of the diary. Hanging at the bar under the round of two. Sticking my way out. Not my friend, the fat attitude.
It is your High Druid Priest talking here. Since our chapter ran a little short, we have compiled a... what is it called again? A blooper reel. For your pleasure. Our cipher thought these bits were funny, or something. So, anyway, enjoy. Alright, I need a bath.
A lot of people... like,
I mean, I'm borderline 30, and I just started this fucking stupid thing.
Yeah, and it's something you probably wanted to do for a while, right?
I just, like, I wanted to do something. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, and, like, I had, like, I worked for, like, a digital media company that was just such a fucking pyramid scheme. It's not even fucking funny, and, like, I quit that, and I'm working at another place that fucking blows. But, like, I don't know. This shit's fun, and it's just fucking, the day job is draining, and this is, like, it sucks when you're tired for that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. 20s was kind of a little bit of a lost period for me. It was, I think that's a natural kind of feel. So it gets better in some ways, but then it gets, like, you know, also frustrating.
Yeah, there's definitely different pressures that you get close to, like, once you're in your 30s, I'm sure. You know, more like independent stress. Whereas I feel like even in your 20s, it's like mostly like mental stress. I don't know, man.
Like, my mental stress got worse later on, so.
Oh, it did?
It did, definitely, so.
Well.
Or it was bad and I just didn't know it.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. You're like, so, oh shit, this has been bad the whole fucking time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that'll do it for this episode's of Doom Therapy.
Yeah. Can we do a Doom Therapy podcast?
We could. It sounds legit to me. So I'll throw it on the fucking tack board. You know, there's we're always throwing ideas around here at the fucking editorial cave.
I love it.
Yeah, the boss man, he's not the nicest, but you know, the pay is okay. The benefits are all right. Not a lot of PTO though.
Yeah, no. You only get Doom therapy. You listen to Doom, that's it.
Yep. And I'm just like, man, you know, I do enjoy other things. You know, I would like to maybe listen to a grindcore album, and it's just like, mm-mm, kid.
Yeah, you know, you're not allowed that. You get Doom only.
I've only ever done one other Skype interview, and that was like 5 years ago.
That's funny. A lot of the people I talk to are just like, what's Skype? And I'm like, you guys are like 45-year-old men.
Yeah, or how do you pronounce it? My parents use it to contact their relatives overseas, and neither of their languages are English as a first language, so they've always said Skypey, so I've always called it Skypey.
That's awesome. I love that.
I always like to tell people that to remember that it's Ark with a K, not with a C, so... like Noah's Ark for bugs. I'm going out and I'm collecting all the bugs. A pair of them.
There we go. Okay. And we went back and listened to all the Metallica records because there's not that many.
No.
And
it's
we got
not
to,
an insurmountable and, catalog.
And like we got to St. Anger. We're just like, oh man, this is just, it is really bad.
Yeah, I remember
it's
when that
really
came
bad.
Out. It's like, it's bad songs and it's bad songs that sound bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was coming, obviously, that was coming off of Load and Reload, which I'm kind of like, they're pretty not good, but there's some good songs.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
You could take like the first half of like Load.
Right.
And like one or two songs from Reload and put them on there and just have one album. Call it whatever you want to call
it.
Load, Reload. And it wouldn't be good, but it would be okay.
It would be okay.
The rest of it can just die in a fire.
Well, the thing was like after they did the Black Album, and like I was...
And I'm not a Black Album hater.
No. Well, I mean the songs are good.
Yeah. It's
sounds,
still different.
Sounds huge.
Yeah.
It was different from anything they had done to that point, because they were no longer a thrash band.
Yeah.
But like, and, you know, I remember when like Until It Sleeps came out, and it was like, well, this is a rock song, you know, and they had been a metal band to that point, and like that really, really mattered at that point. That was like what, 94, 95, like somewhere right in there. And like that shit really, that counted at that point. And you know, now it's who cares, you know.
I know,
right?
God forbid.
No one gives a shit, like, you know, I don't know, maybe if you're like hyper metal, you still really care, but like, you know, by and large, no one even notices.
Please follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom.
You're so dumb. Like I don't know why I did this. This was so stupid. I asked, I tried to change like the intro name where I'm like, hello, such and such people that sound like you're from Doom Culture. And I was like, so of course I'm like, I put it out to the Sleep Facebook group and I was like, hey everybody, just give me a word or a name or a title that is Doomy and I'll write it down. And some people are just like the dumbest. Like Stinkies? I'm not gonna call people Stinkies.
No.
It's dumb.
No.
Victims? That sounds terrible. It sounds like I'm just talking like people have been assaulted. I gotta go through this. Victims. I think I made up this one. Folks still living at mom's house.
Oh. Come on now. Times are tough, man. It's a rough housing market.
That's true. All
shit, right. I live with my wife. Live with my wife and I lived with her mom for 8 years. Fucking, you know.
I just moved out last year.
Yeah, dude. You know, if you can do it and tolerate it, do it.
So you know, if you like killed your uncle or something, don't say anything about that.
Oh, this wasn't. That's not what this was gonna be about.
Yeah, no. This podcast is literally just me getting like blackmail and blackmailing people who have even less money than I do.
Yeah, no, it makes sense because the name, it's like Diary of Doom. It's just talking about, I don't know, things that you would do that would lead up to your eventual demise. So
it's just like a, it's just like a ledger of all the people I've robbed.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like a, what are those called? Like it used to have in like high school.
A journal?
Yeah, no, but like it's like a shit list, or like there's another word for it,
like the, a daily planner.
No, darker than that. Like
like something from, sounds like something from Heathers.
I love that movie so much.
Whatever, man. Like when you come down here, we got to go to Pizza Hut buffet. We got.
Don't go to the one in New Jersey. Come here. Yeah. When Matt Pike was like, okay, I'm not losing any more toes. And hello and welcome to a sort of, I'm sorry. Let me
try that again. Hello! Hello! It's Mrs. Dill. It was Mrs. Delphart. Hello!
So we could record an outro.
Okay.
I was just like, and it was really funny because when it hung up, I just went, oh no!
I was like,
oh, she hit it.
Tiger King, when he's surprised that when he kills himself, he's like,
yes. Oh my god, that's.
I'm sorry, but I'm not.
But oh my god.
Oh Lord.
Like that?
That's what I did. Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, anyway, that was this episode of I feel weird even doing, I don't even have social media for this whenever I use it. Whatever. I'll drop in the social media here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I wonder how many podcasts like recordings actually end just like that. Like they edit it all nice, but they're just like, yeah, all right, bye, I'll do it later. Okay.
Probably.
Is it horrible? It's my first podcast. I was nervous.